Welcome back. It is 8 minutes from 10 o'clock. Kirsty Haslam joins us on the line. Kirsty Haslam is a legal expert at DSC Attorneys. Great to have you, Kirsty.
Hi, good morning. Good to be with you.
Kirsty, you know, I was saying there, one social worker to 90 students. That sounds, it doesn't look as if the ratios are necessarily good.
Exactly. I mean, it literally was an accident waiting to happen, wasn't it? Absolutely foreseeable that a mishap could arise where you've got one person dealing with an excess of 90 children. And what needs to be pointed out is that these were special needs children. So heightened vigilance was called for, if anything.
I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying. But then I've got to reflect on my working class background, going to survival camp and scouts as a kid. My mom didn't have to sign in. She sent me off and I had to survive in the dark of night on a very bad winter's night. And I had to just survive. I had to create my own shelter. And it's taking me out of my comfort zone, out of my lazy zone, making me think a little broader than I'm capable of. I'm thinking poor people can't necessarily consider things to the nth.
Yeah, no, that is true. But, you know, reasonable precautions are called for. And even in that, and I recall those survival camps, I was on one or two myself. Even then, there were precautions in place in case the worst happened. What we were dealing with here was apparently zero lifeguards, zero life jackets, zero supervision. And it was an absolute all around dereliction of duty.
So we're not talking about mollycoddling here. We're talking a basic thing that needs to be in place. What is it?
Well, exactly. There needs to be sufficient adult supervision to monitor the children. No one is saying accidents don't happen, and not every accident that happens is actionable, of course. But where you have this kind of situation where harm, which was foreseeable, was avoidable, and there was an absolute failure to take any action to address that, that is actionable, and the authorities should be held liable.
Yeah. It's more than just that, isn't it? Isn't something that you've got to sign off on? And what should such a document look like?
Well, the outing itself apparently was not sanctioned by the department, but that's an entirely different issue. If you're referring to the signing of indemnity forms.
Parents, yeah.
Yes, parents signing indemnity forms, absolving the school of any liability should something happen. Those are fine if it's a, you know, you're going for a walk in a forest and you trip and injure yourself. That's the kind of thing that can just happen in the normal course. And that's what an indemnity form should cover. But an indemnity form should not, just as a matter of morality, should not absolve any authority for this kind of incident that happened here.
Okay, so in an incident where negligence happens, and this is probably or possibly an instance such as that, what kind of claims against the school or the social worker or any other parties involved in organizing that particular excursion, what claims do parents have?
Well, the funeral and internment costs would definitely be, they would be liable for those. Possibly a claim for general damages for pain and suffering for the emotional trauma, which obviously they will be experiencing having lost their children in such a fashion. And if there is a loss of income, if the parents, for example, the trauma is such that they're unable to resume work and have lost income as a result of that, that could also be claimable.
So are you saying that the department itself cannot absolve itself from responsibility?
No, not in these circumstances, in my view. And in fact, I was encouraged to see that the MEC for Education had expressly said that it is not right to rely on any disclaimer or indemnity, even if there was one in such an instance, because it's not fair and it goes against the values of Batopele. So I was encouraged by reading that.
It's still sad that it happens, that there isn't a rule book well established at all the schools.
Well, exactly. There is, but I don't understand why something that is so easy to address and prevent is not, is not catered for. It's beyond me. If you just sadly do a Google search on school drownings, you'll come across a multitude over many years, and these incidents keep happening.
Yeah, so don't deny your child the opportunity for an excursion that's going to expand their mind. Again, just your advice to parents at this moment in time, what should they look out for? What should be in place before that excursion is embarked upon?
Well, if an indemnity form is presented to them, it's their right to study that and decide they're happy with the terms of it before they sign it. That's number one. And number two, on a common sense level, you have the right as a parent, the school is acting in your stead, in loco parentis, when they take your children out. You have a right as a parent to ask what safeguards are in place, what are the activities that are going to be undertaken, and make sure that you're happy that sufficient mechanisms have been put in place to account for the safety of your child.
Understood. And if you're not happy, can you exclude your kid from the excursion? Is it within your right?
Absolutely. You're the parent. That's your child. You have the right to exclude them if you're not happy.
And that's unfortunately where we've got to end that conversation with Kirsty Haslam. Kirsty, of course, is a legal professional and expert at DSC Attorneys. She brings the time to 2 minutes to 10. News coming your way.